right, Cole, what are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, are you familiar with shadow art?
Like a cameo?
Kinda.
You mean those that doesn't look like anything, but if you look at the shadow, it's
like a
kid reading a book?
Yeah, I forget the name of the artist. I probably should have looked that up as I was preparing for this randomization, with all the preparation we do for the randomizations.
Shadow Stevens. Yeah.
But it looks like just a big pile of garbage. But when light shines on it the right way, it is carefully crafted to make a, well-defined figure. You know, it's impressive. Mm-hmm. I think it's neat. So what I got here is a big old pile of garbage. We got some straws. We got some yard clippings. We have some, old, just crumpled up boxes and stuff. And I figured, we could just toss this garbage around for a little bit and then shine a light on it and see what comes out the other side.
Yeah. Eventually it might do something.
Who knows?
You know, my kid could paint that. let's kick some trash.
Yeah. Okay. Just put it all into a big pile. Yeah. It's fun. It's like a break room.
Smash. Yeah. I really want to try one of those. I don't even like breaking stuff that much. I just like surreal experiences.
Yeah. No, I have a gift card for several sessions at a local one. So I need to go
several
and do
several sessions.
Yeah. For at least like, two or three. Yeah.
Is there a storyline?
No.
It just really felt like a one and done thing to me.
You know, stuff builds up and then you go and do it. When I do it, I will bring it for the show. But
yeah, gotta hear about it.
Yeah, there are paint rooms and stuff there too, just for going and good wigging out.
Little Miss can't be wrong video in the paint room. I don't get angry enough to use a break room for what it's intended for.
Okay.
I just think it sounds kind of fun.
Oh yeah.
Like I don't like physical expressions of anger at all.
Mm.
That shit's bad to me.
Yeah.
Grow up is how I feel about that.
I'm not naturally inclined to it, but I think it'd be fun to try.
Yeah. I would be doing it like tear down. I'd be like, what if I smash this with a sledgehammer here? What happens?
Yeah.
That would be the fun part of it. Fun with physics. So anywho, I'll smash this part of the garbage with a sledgehammer and then let's get a light.
Okay. All right. So I got this little spotlight here. We're going to put it on there. Oh, wow. Okay. So that's like a PlayStation 1, the new model. It's the tiny one, but it's big because it's a big shadow. It's popped up there. And next to it is a game. I can make out the treasure logo. Let me adjust the light here. It is Silhouette Mirage.
Mm-mm.
Good try, Treasure.
Now, Treasure stopped doing good stuff at some point. let the 16-bit era IMO.
At that point was Dynamite Heady, baby.
Yeah.
Last good thing.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, where we wish that the Simpsons episodes where they go to other countries were 10% more racist.
Liar! That's not anything like our show.
I never want to explain it, but we do get these from people.
Yes.
So we don't just make up those.
Right.
This game is fucking confusing.
It is.
It's so, the intro is so goddamn long.
Uh-huh.
And then you just get dumped in this hideous 2.5D like zone with little jumping dolls and lasers coming from the sky. And I'm like, what the fuck is even happening?
This looks like if Bobby Hill was like sitting Hank Hill down, was sitting his dad down to like play his video games. It's a video game, Dad. And if they wanted to present something that was as confusing and baffling as possible, this is what they would put up on the screen.
Whoa,
I shot that little girl.
you just absolutely fucking kill Hank Hill like showing a medieval villager an iPhone by putting silhouette mirage in front of Hank Hill, and he just like faints like a goat.
His head pulls into his body like he's a turtle. Like, oh.
Just back jokes on his back my hidey hole.
Somebody walks up with a rag soaked with propane to resuscitate him. Whoa.
We had to widen this urethra while you're down, Mr. Hill. Get the calipers. Oh. Hey, Dad, what's going on in your urethra? Oh.
That thing's going to echo if you yell down it. Not about the angle silhouette.
I came out of there, Dad.
Not about the angle silhouette. More gun star heroes, man. And you know, play the alien soldier, you know, get in Japan.
this one, always, this is like the Magneto protocols for the Xavier protocols for Hank Hill. Like, if you needed to kill Hank Hill, there's like a secret file in the CIA thing on how to kill all the cartoon characters. And Silhouette Mirage is how you kill Hank Hill.
Just show him the like just a printout of a screen. What the hell is this? Not
and he slowly starts becoming hypnotized.
It's like a rooster when you put his head under the wing. Like,
yeah,
he goes into a torpor.
You just throw a sheet over Hank Hill's cage, and he immediately goes to sleep. What if they bred Hank Hills that were the size of like dogs for pets? And you could have a 12-inch tall Hank Hill like action figure, but it was actually a human Hank Hill. And he crawled around and like walked around your house and did Hank Hill shit. Like he had a little grill.
Just fixing stuff up. I pay for that. I pay for Mini Hill.
Very narrow urethra. And then would go around your house and stuff, and he'd be like a pet. Like every once in a while, he'd just climb up on your lap and go to sleep, and you like just pet him.
Yeah, just feed him little cuts of steak. You don't even have to cook it. You just give it to him. He'll cook it up. It's fine.
Yeah, he'll cook it up. He doesn't want it. He tastes the meat, not the heat. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll take care of it.
Yeah. I could talk about Mini Hank Hill all day.
Yeah, I like Mini Hank Hill. Easy to clean up after. Like he would, like as far as a pet would go, he would be pretty fastidious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? Just give him a shoebox to live in. One shoebox for his for his bedroom. One shoebox for his garage workshop. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. He could make a little dollhouse furniture for you.
You know,
for himself.
I mean, he'd get lonely, so he'd build a house for, you know, miniature Boomhauer, miniature Bill, miniature miniature
Dale. He'd take him out to meet miniature Peggy's down at the Hank Hill Park.
Mm-hmm.
Like walking around a little leash, and he'd be sniffing the Peggy's butt. And then eventually, when he got together, you'd agree to breed them.
Uh huh. They would shake hands. Yeah.
Yeah. You can fry my egg. And then they would shake hands, and then she'd get Pregante, and then you'd have a little tiny Bobby.
Yes. Yeah. An even tinier Bobby. It's just tinier Hank Hill's, tinier King of the Hill characters all the way down.
Yeah. King of the Mole Hill. And then Pocket would come and slaughter them all.
Oh, I just gut them. You would find Pocket just ripping out their intestines.
Yeah, with his teeth and just like, oh, and then his Pocket just gnaws out his stomach.
Yeah, just Pocket just parading around the house with a little dead con in his mouth going,
I can't eat a rat. Ladybird, defend me. Nope. Ladybird, one gulp.
Oh, yeah. Ladybird was the first to go.
Yeah. Like you just make a pocket pellet out of Ladybird's bones after you digest Ladybird.
She's easy to prey. She's deaf. Come on.
Yeah. You can't mess with Pocket. You can mess with Ladybird.
10 minutes into this episode, this was a patron demand from Casey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Casey. What does Casey have to say about this confusing stuff?
They bought this game with allowance money and could not understand what was going on whatsoever as a child. Still thought it was cool, though. We agree with you on the first part. Second part,
I mean, if I were stuck in a room with it and had to get further in it, maybe I'd start getting. I got very irritated by this because I think, for one thing, it's real talky and lore heavy in a way that feels not very treasury. to me.
Yeah.
It begins with a lot of like, you know, malediction prophecy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's ugly. And it's not me just being anti-anime Gary. I think this character design, this horrible little doll thing that you play as, is really aesthetically unpleasant.
Yes.
Like it's not cute and it's not cool. It's just kind of gross looking.
I absolutely agree with you on that. I also like, so things that are not designed to be humanoid have a good kind of appearance to them. So like those dolls look neat to me. When you get to the first
the
boss
ones you fight or the beginning ones.
Yeah. Yeah. The, like the beginning ones, yeah. Like the, like those are cute though. Those look like something that could come out of like, like Legend of the Mystical Ninja or something like that. Like the first boss who's like a fish guy with a mohawk, he looks good. But like anything that is supposed to be like these humanoid characters are like half jester. I'm poking around on Mobi Games to see, but like this definitely looks like it is kind of made by whatever pervert design Stretch Panic at Treasure, you know?
Yeah. It's like that mixed with Bratz dolls a little bit.
Bratz is the, yeah, that is a really, that is very on point because I also saw Bratz doll, especially when I looked at the main character.
Yeah. It doesn't even look, I'll never say this again in my life. I wish this was more anime looking.
Yep.
Like whatever they were going for is worse,
mm-hmm.
you know, than just making this a little tiny, you know, Sakura cutesy girl. You know, like you could have went generic with it. In not going generic, they ended up making something really ugly.
Yeah. I'm looking at this. A good number of the graphic designers, of the visual designers on this, did go on to work on Stretch Panic.
Makes sense.
And the other line, like I have these same complaints about Mischief Makers, which I'm positive will make folks fucking revolt. But I think that like,
yeah,
just that house style does not benefit to me from being out of the 16-bit era. And I think even some of the character design in like Gunstar Heroes, the non-boss character design in that is like not really great shakes to me.
No. And in it being 16-bit covers up a lot of it.
Yes.
Yeah. There's like a certain kind of quaint or quirky or cuteness that only really works with a low level of fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then once you increase it and you do any kind of like 2.5D semi 3D thing, it just doesn't translate.
Yeah.
And very well.
And it's weird because like I think the character animation in this is pretty good. Like it is not over animated. It doesn't get in the way of the like action. Like if this was less gimmicky, and if you got mm-hmm. to the boss fight sooner, I think that this might actually be, you know, just a fine Treasure side scroller like that. That is the version of Treasure that I like. I'm not, and you know, I don't like Ikaruga, which this is a very obvious kind of, you know, precursor to, yeah, at least mechanically.
Platformer Ikaruga.
Yeah. And not into like Radiant Silver Gun or Bangai. Oh, it's just not a shmup guy. I think Treasure is better at platformer kind of stuff. That could have been neat. And the animation didn't get in the way. It's just what they're animating is just blah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it's coming through on the microphone. It's all of a sudden started hailing incredibly hard.
Yeah, you guys are here. Having some wacky stuff up there, aren't you? You talked about snow.
Oh, weird weather.
It's April.
Yeah, we had snow the other day, and a couple days before that was 75 degrees.
Hmm. It's coming through. It's coming through quite loudly as you're speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty wild shit.
Huh.
I hope my power doesn't go out.
I hope so.
We'll
roll with it. It's not gonna, I mean, it'd be weird if you losing power caused my recording to go away.
we got Nexus'd. This just ended up being confusing to me, and I got annoyed by all of the lore in the beginning of this.
Yeah.
I just couldn't be interested in it if mm-hmm. I tried.
The tutorial didn't necessarily clearly explain, like, you know, shoot enemy with the same type, and I'm like, I do not know how to tell what the enemy is, like what type is the enemy. And also it didn't straight up say like, okay, when you are facing left you are shooting blue, when you're facing right you are shooting red unless you reverse it. And so, you know, I went through the tutorial and figured, okay, I've got like a rough sense of that, but I have no idea. okay, so do the shots of the same type just not work on that enemy?
Or are they just less efficacious?
Yeah, yeah. And I couldn't deduce that just by going out and shooting stuff. So instead, I was just losing power as I was shooting folks and like not even taking damage. And it's like, I nothing that I do is making this power go up. It is just making it go down at different rates. And by the time I get to the boss, I'm fucking dead. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got pretty irritated by this. I guarantee this is a bunch of people's favorite game.
Yep.
You know, it's got that flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a certain kind of like just quirky, overly complicated game from this generation.
Yeah.
That engenders a lot of loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could not find the fun in it.
No, no. So. I went into it open-minded. Thinking, okay.
I was kind of excited. Like yeah. When I read about it and saw that it was Treasure, I was like, oh yeah, Treasure makes like, you know, Treasure is capable of making good games.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think all their stuff is good. You know, you referenced the stuff that I generally think is kind of lousy earlier. Yeah. The one thing I like about this is that in the upper left by your meters, you have a little guy Groove in there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's like a little dancing, like, you know, diaper time guy kind of dancing there who just like never stops. Always just this little dude doing a boogie.
It's just a reminder. Hey, everything's a good time. Party, party, party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little Funzo. Like Funzo likes the boogie and he just keeps boogieing up there.
Just try and stop him. You can't do it.
It's not very often that you do a platformer where somebody plays the boss tone. The platformer, you know,
people always forget the boss tone. Yeah
Don't never forget the boss tone
or the twisted fire starter, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Did the Prodigy have a guy who just did the fire starter?
That was the fire starter. That actor who was the fire starter in the video didn't, you know, like he was not a member of the band.
You're right. Yeah.
They
he's just like a weirdo who just yelled.
Yeah, he was just a guy. And like, okay, well, you're kind of inseparable from us. And people are like, hey, where's the fire starter? Isn't he a part of the band? So they just kind of like brought him on as part of the crew. So he's up there doing fire starter dance stuff while the rest of the band plays, which is
presses start on their laptops or whatever.
How much of a cut you getting, buddy?
I'm curious.
Yeah.
It's frontman problems. Like you're not actually very responsible for the success of the band, but
no.
No. Yeah. I liked that bit of it.
Yeah.
I like that there was somebody grooving, but
yeah.
Other than that though, found very little like in this.
Same. Oh, well,
it's a generational thing too. The PS1 generation, like if I had gotten into this at the time, mm-hmm. I'd probably have different feelings. It just wasn't the type of video game I was playing.
Same.
At that time, you know? So, and it's, I think that nostalgia is necessary for a certain amount of this.
I think so too. Yeah. I wasn't playing a lot of platformers on the PlayStation by that time.
I don't love it as a platform for that.
No.
Or a console for platformers. Like I love Symphony of the Night, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the PlayStation 1 era of platformers is pretty strange.
Yeah.
Fucking the Harlequin game.
Pandemonium. Yeah. That was the weird thing about Sega Saturn. Like if you wanted weird platformers, it was there. If you wanted a stall, then boy, have I got a system for you.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite Sega character, a stall.
God love a stall. Can you imagine if a stall got married to Sonic?
Oh man, just how cute their babies would be.
Does Sonic give birth to Chows?
No, I think he just finds the eggs.
Okay, so he cuckoos them. He steals them.
I think.
Okay.
I mean, we're getting into what comes first, the chow or the egg, but I think that he just like in the game, in the chow garden, you just get a chow and then you raise it to maturity, or you have two chows. You have an initial breeding pair. We call them the Adam chow and the Eve chow.
Okay.
And then you have to take care of them and feed them. And at a certain point they will mature and then an egg will pop up and then you, then you take care of that. So I believe that's the case. Okay. Yeah.
the egg hatches and it's like, hello, dad.
Can you give me a tiny Connie too?
Oh no, I've been fertilized, dad. Sonic is gross. We talked about this. People keep telling me it's as good as the first one. I'm having a really hard time getting excited about Sonic 2.
I mean, we're going to do it.
I know we'll get paid for it, but it's like, man, they got that Tails character in there. It's just gonna be like, come on, Sonic, let's save the day.
Yeah.
And just say shitty Tails things.
And the headlines that I'm seeing about like, oh, how the director crafted a three-dimensional Knuckles. I don't need pathos and Knuckles. That's Ken Pender's shit. Stop it.
I don't need Knuckles. And people are like, Knuckles steals the show. And I'm like, hey, man, what's good about Knuckles?
There was a time when I was real into Knuckles, that was 1994 to 1999 when I played Sonic Adventure. And it's like, yeah, that's enough.
is this going to sound dismissive, and I don't want, this is a genuine question. Like, the appeal of Knuckles is just that it's Sonic but edgier, right?
Yeah.
Like, is there more to Knuckles that I don't know other than that? Like, I know that's the appeal of Shadow, but he's like the edge turned all the way up. Isn't right. Knuckles just somewhere between Sonic and Shadow?
Yeah, Knuckles is an evolutionary step toward Shadow, the same way that Tails is an evolutionary step toward Amy Rose. And Cream the Rabbit.
Cream. Yeah. Like, yeah. What if like a baby?
You know,
Sonic hung out with a baby.
Yeah. What if, oh God, somebody take that baby away from Sonic. He doesn't know what it eats. He's trying to shove chili dogs into it.
Sonic has custody of Tails, right?
I think it's more of like a ward of the state situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
They released him into a kind of a probationary fatherhood.
It's kind of like Sonic just finding the eggs and then taking care of them. He just found a baby Tails and I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Sonic just loves to raise things he finds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. No, I just said, like when I was littler, the idea of just like, oh, here is a new character in this pantheon of characters that you already enjoyed. Cause like by the time I got really into Sonic, Sonic 2 had already, Tails was already on the scene and I was down for it. Yeah. So like my threshold for like when the friends became shitty, my threshold for that was already pretty high, higher than a lot of people who just think it went overboard when it went beyond just Sonic and Dr. Robotnik. But like Knuckles was tied up in with like, okay, he's a villain, but then he's a good guy, which was a new thing for me as a kid. Right. Cause I wasn't exposed to as much fiction at that point.
Like anime storytelling 101 proto-man shit.
Yeah, proto-man, precisely. Like I didn't necessarily, wasn't putting that together when I was playing Mega Man games, when I was even younger than my Sonic days or whatever. And then the comics, like before it went like fucking off the rails, like he was an interesting character in the comics too. Again, for a kid, right? It was like, oh, this feels a little bit more mature. Which of course just means, oh, this is edgy and I can't see it as edgy. Right. He's just like, oh, he's mean. He's terse. He's got even more attitude, seemingly, though you may think it is impossible, children. He does.
To have more attitude than Sonic, you actually can outdo him. It's just a thing as an adult. If I am, this is not an original observation. It's just something I've been thinking about lately. If, as an adult, if I'm going to get into Sonic, the thing I'm going to get into it for is that quaintness, any attempts at maturity or depth are going to all be detrimental.
Right.
Like I don't want a Sonic design to appeal to teens because the only thing that remains of Sonic that is appealing at all is the surreality that comes from kids' entertainment.
Right.
It's kind of fun because it's so fucking weird. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start taking it seriously and saying like, no, here are what the Chaos Emeralds actually do. And here's, these characters from different dimensions and stuff like that. It just, you lose a lot of what works for me at all as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a little bit of how, like, as an adult, I could live in a big city or a small town, but I couldn't live in a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I either need quaint or actual. I don't like this between step.
Yeah. So what I think you're noticing is that like there are people who probably played, let's say they played Sonic 2 at age 5 when it came out in 1992, like I did. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Sonic 2, yeah, here it came out in 2002, a day after my birthday in 2002. Neat. So it came out here, and figure that is a big portion of the audience, at least at the time, you know, what Sega considered the audience to be. Okay, so I'm 5 when that comes out. I am 7 when Sonic 3 comes out, and Sonic and Knuckles or whatever. And there was this kind of impetus to have Sonic grow up with that audience to a degree. So by the time by the time Sonic Adventure 2 comes out, it is 2001, and I am 14, and that's when Shadow is brought in. Okay.
Yeah.
A 14-year-old would be like, I don't know. Sonic was getting a little bit too kiddie for me, but what if he had a gun? Yeah,
Shadow's twisted.
Yeah. But eventually it starts getting a little bit frayed, a little bit tattered at the edges, as Sonic cannot plausibly grow up with that person and remain what it was. Like, you know, we can't have like, oops, Sonic gets two women pregnant. He can't get those.
Yeah, I would love it if Sonic kept growing up. Like, yeah. Sonic just takes a lot of naps, and like Sonic gets laid off.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like the end goal of this is a end goal. Steve Brule. The most mature thing you can be is not Shadow the Hedgehog.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and the idea of that as maturity is something that I think doesn't age very well.
Oh yeah, because you know, if you're any older than 14, then you see it as being lame, right?
Yeah, like it lame, and just also just kind of gross and kind of greasy.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You know, just kind of like, this isn't charming. Yeah. This isn't. It's not, is trying too hard.
It's not cool just to have a gun.
No, like you end up being like Michael Scott doing improv.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that stuff is laughable, you know, it's not. And like when we played the Sonic or the Shadow of the Hedgehog game, I laughed out loud. Like I thought it was very funny.
Mm-hmm. That's not what they were going for.
No. Yeah, exactly. It's a weird thing where authorial intent kind of matters.
Yeah.
For some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
like far too late, Sega realized that what you described, which is, I want the surreality. I want this to kind of get back to kind of a certain purity or brass tacks, purity mm-hmm. of the idea. And they decided, okay, so like, we're going to, they promise we're going to make it like it was again. And that's when you get Sonic Gems and Sonic, Sonic Colors, Sonic Generations, yeah. Right? Ultimately Sonic Mania, which is, it's exactly like it was, but with more and different. Please come back, please.
Yeah. Well, do people like that game, right? Like, I haven't played it.
Oh yeah. Sonic Mania is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Sonic Mania and Sonic Colors are both liked, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For that back to basic stuff. What I think the other thing I'm picking up on is that a company will start marketing to teenagers. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll make a property grow up with the audience, but they're so slow to grow up any further than teen.
Yeah.
Like they get to 14 and they hang out in 14 for like 25 years.
Oh yeah. No, they,
like cryogenically frozen.
When did Sonic and like the, Sonic and the Dark Knight or whatever come out? Fuck. It's like Lost World, Sonic Mania Werewolf. Forces. Yeah. The way, like the werewolf so Sonic, they hung out there. For a very long time. I mean, so from like 2001, basically for 10 years is what they did. We have Sonic and the Black Knight. Like
it's really wild to see how slow people are to like give. It reminds me a little bit of the complaint we always have in adaptation decay, where it's like, what if you tried adapting the fucking game?
Yeah.
You know, like IP managers, like this is all marketing artless horseshit, mm-hmm. are really, really quick to chase teenager money.
Yep.
And then super, super slow to chase my money. Mm-hmm. And I have way more disposable income than I did as a teenager.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you weren't doing this weird, shitty edgelord stuff, you might get some of my money.
Mm-hmm.
And my money is better than the teenager's money because I have more of it.
Yeah. My money does not, it doesn't depend on me talking my parents into spending it on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the other audience for it are the weird adults who never grew out of Teen Sonic
right
stuff. And that's its own thing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I would like, I want things that are kiddie to be kiddie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, not cloyingly so, but like,
no.
Just have it be aesthetic and cool. And obviously, yeah. As we discussed in Silhouette Mirage, that aesthetic can go wrong, you know?
Oh, yeah. But, like, this is a weird, surreal nightmare aesthetic. I'm watching a long play of this in the background.
Uh-huh.
Here. And I'm in a chapter called Grinding Start. And I've been watching the Silhouette Mirage fight pumpkin-headed things.
Oh, yeah.
The entire time. It's become very hypnotic. just going off screen, making them respawn, and then fighting the same six pumpkin guys.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over and over. It feels like I'm watching an Andy Warhol film or something.
Oh, I mean, and this is one of those, that, like, this is of the treasure platforming school where it's like, we're just going to give you just a couple of these arenas to fight chumps before you fight the bosses, you know? Yeah.
And you got to grind. You got to have, there's an RPG element. There's money. So
yeah, those pumpkin guys are pretty cool. I don't know if you ended up fighting any of them, but, you fight them in the underground area. They're jack-o'-lanterns. And when you damage them enough to kill them, they don't die. The pumpkin bursts and it reveals that inside their head is just a candle. And then they run away, like trying to protect their flame. Mm. It's very cute.
In, I didn't get to them when I played. But that is a sucker way to do this, because if you're doing it in the grindy optimal way that Long Play Archive does, you do them on this cliff where you can throw them off a cliff.
Okay.
So they cool. never survive.
Well.
Got to optimize your Silhouette Miraging.
Gary, I will keep that in mind for the next time I play Silhouette Mirage.
Yeah, like later today.
I'm playing it right now.
Yeah. And I never stopped. I never will stop.
This is my life now.
Yeah. Silhouette Cole. if you had asked me before we covered this with a gun to my head, I would have said Silhouette Mirage was a shooter.
Same.
Like a shoot 'em up. Like, I'd seen the name of it and the cover of it, and I knew Treasure did it at some mm-hmm. point.
No,
and I thought for sure that's what it was.
It was a, before I knew it was Treasure, I thought it was a coin flip. Between either some kind of shooter or like a JRPG, you know, like in the Legend of mm-hmm. Gaia vein. Your Shadow Madness and whatnot.
Yeah. It's got a kind of a Tomba look to it.
These later
bits.
Yeah.
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 What else?
I mean, I'm trying. so we're at time. Nothing really good on Game Facts, honestly.
No.
Yeah, and just somebody saying, yeah, play this game with the sound off. I can agree. Treasure remakes annoying sounding games with their voice call outs and stuff. But yeah, nothing terribly good as far as this stuff goes. I'm trying to think. Was it's this the one?
Okay. Yeah, there's one of the reviews says a fun, quirky game that's just plain fun. And I really like just like, seems fun. but it's really divisive.
Yeah, divisive.
Both in professional and fan reviews.
Yeah,
you know, like you end up with things like Mega Fun giving it 15% and Edge Magazine giving it 6 out of 10, but then you end up with, you know, a bunch of 8 out of 8, 9s out of 10.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's all over the place on this bad boy.
Yeah. Well. No. Rip Treasure. The you died after Dynamite Heady.
Yeah. The mark of something that I can sometimes agree is interesting, but don't want to dedicate my time to.
Yes.
You know, if people like this show, what should they do, Cole?
They can go to patreon.com/chuckvtv. There they can give us some money and they can get bonus content in return. As a heads up, our early release tier is going away for reasons that we describe both on Patreon and on March's Watch Out for Fireballs Dispatch episode at the beginning of that. But other stuff is coming in. So people at the $3 tier are going to get a pack of bonus content. And people at the $5 tier, they're going to get access to some more frequent Watch Out for Fireballs Dispatch, like topic cleanup Q&A kind of things. And that changeover happens on May the 1st. So early release goes away on April 31st. May the 1st, new stuff comes in.
Yes. We appreciate everyone's patience with the switchover.
Yeah.
Like, we think it is a good thing to do. We think it's going to help. We've replaced it with thoughtful things that we think are valuable. Mm-hmm. But any kind of change can be scary. We appreciate you for sticking with us. If you want to suggest a game or demand a game in this, you can do so by being a patron. You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict or anywhere that podcasts are found. We would appreciate that. It helps in some way that no podcaster has ever told the truth about understanding.
Mm-hmm.
we're telling you now, they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
We think that it helps, but we couldn't tell you how. what else? What else should they do until next time? Sign us off.
Yes, I will sign us off. Gary, until next time, we need to cut here. I started some fires earlier, and I should really kept an eye on those.